Holy Hour of Power, the Terry and Jesse Show, High Energy Catholic Radio. I'm reporting for duty. Today is, this month is the month of May dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Amen. Terry, are you reporting for
duty? I'm reporting for duty, Jess. Yeah. I can't wait. I won't be here for your interview on the Logic book and from Sophia that is going to be fascinating. But I'm excited about talking about Harrison Butker. He had did a commencement speech. Man, I'm telling you, at the Benedictine College, I can't wait to share that with our listenership, the second segment, because this is a man. He's showing what we Catholics need to do in the culture of death. We have to stand up for what is right, what is true and beautiful, and he did that. And so I can't wait for that. And I just want to also mention right up front that we've got the men's conference coming up June 15th with Jesse Romero and Johnny Romero. You can still register by going to vmpr.org or calling us at 877-526-215. And we're also streaming that. Just talking about streaming, the St. Jude relics are going around Southern California. Just two nights ago at St. Joseph's Church in Pomona, where we had our spiritual warfare conference, 5,100 people walked through the church doors in about 6 hours, wow. Venerating the St. Jude. All over the country, all over the Diocese of L.A., vmpr.org is streaming these events. So if people go to Full Sheen Ahead, our YouTube channel, you'll be able to see what's going on in the churches with the veneration of the St. Jude. But, Jess, I had to say this. Talk about Harrison Butker. There's other people standing up. We have an Australian. This is the Need to Know file. Then Australian Archbishop, he's accused of what? Hate speech for defending the Catholic teachings that there's male and female and that abortion is murder. That's the world we're living in. Thank you, Archbishop, for standing up for that. Also, I want to pray for a woman, Zori Beck. She's in and she's a Dutch woman, 29. She just got granted her euthanasia approval to kill her because she says she has mental problems. She has depression, so she wants to be killed. And so we need to pray for her.
Unbelievable.
I mean, this is what we're up against in the culture of death. And the last thing I want to say, Jess, and I'll turn it over to you, a Slavic prime minister who opposed the WHO pandemic treaty, guess what happened to him, Jess? He was shot in an assassination attempt.
What?
Yes. Now, he survived it. He's in surgery. But I want to pray for him. Robert Fisco, he's described as, a no-nonsense kind of guy. And a lot of the pharmaceutical companies and people who were for that are against what he has done because he wouldn't allow for the jab going on in his country. So I kudos to someone who stands up to the culture of death.
He literally took a bullet for that one.
I think so, Jess.
Yeah. Terry, a couple of other things on the Need to Know file.
Yeah.
What, as Catholics, Terry, I mean, we're right now living in very difficult times.
You think?
Catholic pro-lifers are getting thrown in jail. You got Catholics go to the traditional Latin Mass.
Yeah.
They're also suspect. We know that Biden and Donald Trump are set to debate in June. I don't know why they want to debate so early. I don't like the fact that it's going to be aired on CNN.
Well, the requirement, yeah. But Jesse, the requirements that I read, here they are.
Yeah.
No audience, only Trump and Biden moderators in a television studio, no third-party candidate debate, all right? Moderators can be from only, are you ready? CNN, ABC, CBS. Oh, come on. Candidates' mics must mute after time expires. You know, Jess, okay.
Trump doesn't need to debate him. I wouldn't debate him.
Yeah, there you go.
It's all stacked against him.
Yep.
Here's another one. New border data shows that gotaways are 5 times higher under Biden than under any other president. 5 times higher, the gotaways that come over here.
Yeah.
Also, a defendant, John Hinshaw, 69 years old, pro-life rescuer, gave a stirring speech to the court and judge who sentenced him to 21 months in federal prison for his pro-life activism. Mr. John Himshaw shared that his granddaughter was born at 32 weeks gestation, likely around the same age as the DC-5, the five late aborted children whose bodies were discovered outside the facility he was sentenced for protesting against. Also, the number of U.S. Catholics who attend Mass has significantly dropped since 1972. Statisticians Ryan Burge has parsed out the numbers and offered some theories about the decline. I think part of the decline is we moved away from evangelism,
exactly,
and we moved towards social justice.
Amen.
Also, Catholic Votes, John Mercer says comedy moving rightward. In one of the latest episodes of Catholic Votes Loopcast, John Mercer, the VP of Catholic Vote, pointed out an interesting development in show business that comedians are criticizing Biden and getting big laughs. Very interesting. Also, a Mexican court recently protected the constitutional autonomy rights of the Catholic Diocese of Querétaro in Mexico, ruling that the diocese is not required to alter church records to reflect someone's gender identity. The diocese first became embroiled in legal action in 2021 after a man who claimed to be a woman demanded they change the sex and registered name on his baptismal records.
Wow.
But the Mexican court protected the church.
Thanks,
that's
be to
a
God.
Good, yeah. Yeah, it's a good sign. And finally, Bishop Jaime Soto, the Diocese of Catholic Diocese of Sacramento, revealed in a message to the faithful Monday that daily mass and frequent devotional prayers, encouraged by his parents, led to his priestly vocation. And the bishop highlighted the frequency with which his parents brought him and his siblings to church, adding, "Home and church were weaved in and out of one another to make a single fabric of my Catholic faith." That's a good message.
That is.
Go ahead, Terry.
Last thing, Jesse, and then we'll get to the gospel. The stock market has hit 40,000 points. It's never done that before. My line is, what goes up must come down. I'm going to predict right on the air that we're coming into a major, major adjustment in the market and in financial institutions. So I tell our listeners, be careful. Don't get in debt. Stay out of debt. That's my take, Jess.
Saint of the day, St. Simon Stock, was the English Carmelite monk who received the brown scapular from Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Yeah.
According to her promise, whoever dies wearing the scapular shall not go to hell. The devotion to the bronze scapular has been adopted by millions of religious and lay people alike and is a sign of Mary's affection and care for her children here on earth.
All right, let's
soul
speak
food.
Some soul food, brother. I'm
speak,
sorry.
Lord, your servant is listening.
Yes.
Lifting up his John chapter 17, 20 to 26. This is the heart of Sacred Heart of Jesus, the way he wants unity. He doesn't want 47,000 denominations. Look at what he says here.
Amen.
Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, "I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one. As we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me and that you loved them even as you loved me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be, that they may also see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A couple of verses that jump out at me in verse 20, where our Lord says, "Those who believe." This is Jesus' prayer, his high priestly prayer, and it reaches into the future to bless believers of all ages. So this is a prayer that goes on till the end of time. Also, verse 23 jumps out at me, where our Lord says, but that the world may know. Jesus right here, he's envisioning unity that is not only spiritual, but visible unity as well. An organizational unity as well. So that even the world can see it clearly. This, for example, the indivisibleness of the Trinity is a source and pattern of ecclesial oneness, or ecclesial indivisibility as well. Verse 24 also jumped out at me, where our Lord says, may they be one and may be with me as I am with you. That's a prayer from our Lord Jesus Christ from his lips for the salvation of all believers. But how are we going to be saved? We're going to be saved when the scattered family of Adam and Eve return under the lordship and kingship of Jesus Christ and his mother, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
Amen to that. All right. I'm not going to bring Bishop Sheen in right now. We're just going to, I want to set the stage for this next segment. There's liberals are seeking to cancel Harrison Butker after his epic anti-woke pro-family commencement speech. I'm going to play just a few minutes of it right after the break, and you're going to want to listen to it all after we give you a teaser on it. It was at the Benedictine College. You know, he denounced abortion, Pride Month, Joe Biden, and he also talked about some of our bishops who are cowards. He called them that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what? If the shoe fits, you wear it. We need to have our successors, apostles, to act like apostles and proclaim the church in season and out like that archbishop did in Australia. So stay with us, family. We'll be back with that and much more here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, family. You're going to want to hear this. This is very inspirational to all of us. Back in a moment. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm a little slow, Jesse. I just realized that my vertigo is kind of like making me like in La La Land. So if I'm a little, if I give you that dumb look, it's go, take over, brother.
Got it.
Okay, hey, we got the liberals are seeking to cancel Harrison Butker after his epic anti-woke pro-family commencement speech at Benedictine College. I mean, this man, before we play the clip, Jess, let me just tell you what I think. He's a model for us because he could have been quiet and just been one of the best all-time field goal kickers in football history, but he didn't need to speak out like he's doing, but he's doing it because he's convicted that Jesus Christ, the kingship of Christ, needs to be proclaimed. And so I want to just say, I think he's a model for all of us men. Never be silent when it comes to proclaiming the gospel.
Absolutely. And do we have a clip that we want to play, Terry?
Yes, we do. Let's play it.
Our Catholic faith has always been countercultural. Our Lord, along with countless followers, were all put to death for their adherence to her teachings. The world around us says that we should keep our beliefs to ourselves whenever they go against the tyranny of diversity, equity, and inclusion. We fear speaking truth because now, unfortunately, truth is in the minority. Congress just passed a bill where stating something as basic as the biblical teaching of who killed Jesus could land you in jail. But make no mistake, before we even attempt to fix any of the issues plaguing society, we must first get our own house in order, and it starts with our leaders. The bishops and priests appointed by God as our spiritual fathers must be rightly ordered. There's not enough time today for me to list all the stories of priests and bishops misleading their flocks, but none of us can blame ignorance anymore and just blindly proclaim that that's what Father said. Because sadly, many priests we are looking to for leadership are the same ones who prioritize their hobbies or even photos with their dogs and matching outfits for the parish directory. It's easy for us laymen and women to think that in order for us to be holy, that we must be active in our parish and try to fix it. Yes, we absolutely should be involved in supporting our parishes, but we cannot be the source for our parish priests to lean on to help with their problems. Just as we look at the relationship between a father and his son, so too should we look at the relationship between a priest and his people. It would not be appropriate for me to always be looking to my son for help when it is my job as his father to lead him. St. Jose Maria Escriva states that priests are ordained to serve and should not yield to temptation to imitate lay people, but to be priests through and through. Tragically, so many priests revolve much of their happiness from the adulation they receive from their parishioners. And in searching for this, they let their guard down and become overly familiar. This undue familiarity will prove to be problematic every time because, as my teammate's girlfriend says, familiarity breeds contempt. As Catholics, we can look to so many examples of heroic shepherds who gave their lives for their people and ultimately the church. We cannot buy into the lie that the things we experienced during COVID were appropriate. Over the centuries, there have been great wars, great famines, and yes, even great diseases, all that came with a level of lethality and danger. But in each of those examples, church leaders leaned into their vocations and ensured that their people received the sacraments. Great saints like St. Damian of Malachi, who knew the dangers of his ministry, stayed for 11 years as a spiritual leader to the leper colonies of Hawaii. His heroism is looked at today as something set apart and unique, when ideally, it should not be unique at all. For as a father loves his child, so a shepherd should love his spiritual children too. That goes even more so for our bishops, these men who are present-day apostles. Our bishops once had adoring crowds of people kissing their rings and taking in their every word, but now relegate themselves to a position of inconsequential existence. Now, when a bishop of a diocese or the bishop's conference as a whole puts out an important document on this matter or that, nobody even takes a moment to read it, let alone follow it. No. Today, our shepherds are far more concerned with keeping the doors open to the chancery than they are with saying the difficult stuff out loud. It seems that the only time you hear from your bishops is when it's time for the annual appeal, whereas we need our bishops to be vocal about the teachings of the church, setting aside their own personal comfort and embracing their cross. Our bishops are not politicians, but shepherds. So instead of fitting in the world by going along to get along, they too need to stay in their lane and lead. I say all of this not from a place of anger, as we get the leaders we deserve. But this does make me reflect on staying in my lane and focusing on my own vocation and how I can be a better father and husband and live in the world, but not be of it. Focusing on my vocation while praying and fasting for these men will do more for the church than me complaining about her leaders.
Amen.
Because there seems to be so much confusion coming from our leaders, there needs to be concrete examples for people to look to in places like Benedictine, a little Kansas college built high on a bluff above the Missouri River, are showing the world how an ordered, Christ-centered existence is the recipe for success. You need to look no further than the examples all around this campus, where over the past 20 years, enrollment has doubled, construction and revitalization are a constant part of life, and people, the students, the faculty and staff, are thriving. This didn't happen by chance. In a deliberate movement to embrace traditional Catholic values, Benedictine has gone from just another liberal arts school with nothing to set it apart to a thriving beacon of light and a reminder to us all that when you embrace tradition, success, worldly and spiritual, will follow. I am certain the reporters at the AP could not have imagined that their attempt to rebuke and embarrass places and people like those here at Benedictine wouldn't be met with anger, but instead met with excitement and pride. Not the deadly sin sort of pride that has an entire month dedicated to it, but the true God-centered pride that is cooperating with the Holy Ghost to glorify Him.
Amen.
Reading that article now shared all over the world, we see that in the complete surrender of self and a turning towards Christ, you will find happiness. Right here in a little town in Kansas, we find many inspiring lay people using their talents. President Minnis, Dr. Swofford, and Dr. Zimmerer are a few great examples right here on this very campus that will keep the light of Christ burning bright for generations to come. Being locked in with your vocation and staying in your lane is going to be the surest way for you to find true happiness and peace in this life. It is essential that we focus on our own state in life, whether that be as a layperson, a priest, or religious.
Wow, you got to hear the rest of this, folks, because dozens of media outlets, feminists and former female athletes, they flipped out, Jesse, after watching Buettner's insights and thoughtful remarks, which reflect nothing more than a basic Christian outlook on family life. That's what he's nailed for, speaking the truth with charity.
Yeah, Buettner's up. There's been a backlash as a result of this.
Yeah.
Nothing but a sensible, reasonable Christian commencement address at a Catholic colleges.
Yeah, I know. Give me a break.
And so the Kansas City Chiefs kicker is it has been attacked, Terry. There's a tidal wave of, you got the LGBTQ people coming after him. They've doxed his address. That means they've put his address out in public. You've got all the, you know, the mainstream media coming after him. And all he did was speak Catholic truth.
Yep.
Candace Owens, Harrison Butker, these are young people, young adult Catholics, which warms my heart. If you speak Catholic truth, like Butker did for 20 minutes, Candace Owens tweeted, "A Christ is King." Terry, this entire week in the Gospel of John, the Novus Ordo Mass, we're going through John 17.
Yes.
And it says over and over again, the world hates Christ.
Exactly.
The world hates Christ. If they hate you, it's because they hate Jesus. We see the world hates, and I'm talking about the unbelieving world of woke liberal pagans, that's hates right. Candace Owens.
Yep.
Now they hate Harrison Butker. And let me tell you something.
Tell me.
The Bible says in James chapter 3, you better watch. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. And Candace Owens, Harrison Butker, they've demonstrated to themselves, although, again, they live in the world, they're in love with God. They're not in love with this world. They know this world is passing away.
Well, and you know, Jesse, this is the guy who's got the second greatest conversion for kickers in the NFL history. Wow. 89.1%. So he's the best at what he does. So he could have just said, you know what? I'm okay. Everybody says they like me because I'm the best at this game of kicking field goals and Super Bowl ring. I got it all. So what does he do, Jesse? He says, no, I'm 28 years old. Okay. So he's not an old man. Like, hey, what do I got left? He's in the prime of his life. And what does he do? Probably talks it over with his wife. Honey, I got to speak up. I got to call things the way I see them as a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm sure she says, honey, go for it. Because you're the head of the household, and we need to show our children what leadership is all about.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, when I play this, I'm going to play this on the Bishop Strickland Hour, and I guarantee you Bishop Strickland is going to be so happy to hear this talk and say, this is exactly what our brother bishops need to hear. This should inspire everyone from the Pope to the lowest guy on the church to say, you know what? I can't be one with the world. I've got to speak what Christ teaches, and not worry about, you know, what's going to happen to me if I call people out for the truth of the gospel. That's what we need today in our church.
Terry, the Harrison Butker speech, remember, this was given to him not as an NFL football player. This is in his personal capacity.
Right.
So it's not like he's representing the NFL.
No.
Yet the NFL issued a statement Wednesday saying that Harrison Butker's comments don't reflect the views of the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
He's not speaking for the NFL.
No.
He's speaking as a private person.
Right.
And so the NFL, the vice president of the NFL, talking about their LGBT connection, they said, we're going to make our commitment to inclusion, in other words, to LGBTQ,
right,
only stronger as a result of what Harrison Butker said. So, this young man, Terry, he's definitely taking a hit. The Kansas City Press says, watch Chiefs Harrison Butker deliver commencement speech, returning to his alma mater as a conquering hero on Saturday. You got Fox News that says, Chief Harrison Butker's commencement speech at alma mater was mixed with a little bit of humor, but he railed against Pride Month, working women, the COVID-19 pandemic, abortion. So they're criticizing his speech because he mentioned trans people, Pride Month. He spoke as a man of faith. Yep. And what he did, he spoke about the ugly things that are happening in our society.
That's right.
That nobody wants to talk about. Harrison Butker's talked about the elephant in the living room that everybody's walking around.
Well said. And I just want to thank him for his leadership as a layman in the Catholic Church. This is what we need to be doing everywhere, speaking the truth with charity and clarity. Jesse, when you come back, I'm going to have to step out, but we've got a great interview coming up on a great book. You want to share a little bit what the book's about?
Absolutely. Logic That Exists I got Robert Trussell. He's going to be talking about his book,
yeah,
How the Laws of Nature Prove God's Existence. So we're going to get into the science and God. We'll be right back.
Stay with us, family. God bless you.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I would like to introduce Robert Trussell. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, Jesse.
We've got a book.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, my friend. Any friend of Sophia is a friend of ours. Robert Trussell wrote a book. It's called The Logic That Exists. Robert Trussell is a founder and retired CEO of Tempur-Pedic International Incorporated. From 2002 to 2022, he's the vice chairman of the board now. From at that time as well, so Tempur-Pedic acquired
Tempur-Pedic.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. They acquired Sealy Corporation in 2012, and is now known as Tempur Sealy. I hope I said that right.
Yep.
Tempur-Pedic was a startup company back in '92. It has nearly $5 billion a year in worldwide sales. So Mr. Trussell successfully employed advertising media and public relations to spread the Tempur-Pedic story. Oh, now I know the story behind the story. Wow. So he took the company public in 2003, where it trades on the New York Stock Exchange as TPX. And in 2006, he retired as CEO of Tempur-Pedic to serve Christ full time by using media for evangelization. So, in other words, you were undercover for Jesus, Robert, all those years at Tempur-Pedic, huh?
Yep. I was, the whole thing was an answer to a prayer. And ever since then, I've been just trying to give back.
That's right. So you were doing stealth Catholicism with Tempur-Pedic, but now you're out of the closet, and we're glad that you're part of Team Jesus now full time. So Mr. Trussell, he's currently president of Clean Media, a digital advertising platform catering to Catholic, Christian, and secular websites. He's now involved in full-time Christ-centered media evangelization. And Mr. Trussell received his BS degree from Marquette University back in 74. He's the chairman of Catholics Come Home, a Catholic evangelization nonprofit, and also Virtue Media, a Catholic pro-life media apostolate, and former chairman of the 1380 Real Life Catholic Radio in Lexington, Kentucky. Well, welcome to the show, my friend. Tell us a little bit about the book. How is it that you said, you know what, I'm going to write this book, The Logic That Exists? How did you see the need for this book? Is it because of maybe, I don't know, several years ago we were pelted pretty hard with all these new atheists and their arguments, and they were going from one university to another? Is that part of why you wrote this book?
Sure, that's part of it. And the name of the book is The Logic That God Exists.
Oh, The Logic That God Exists.
It is aimed for people who are weak in their faith, people who are downright atheists, or people who are just, I call it a continuum of people who believe from no belief to strong belief, and every part there in between. And so there's a lot of people who are in that in-between part who they might even check the box if they're asked, do you believe in God? But it's weak, and it's been weakened gradually over the last 30 to 50 years through the culture and what has happened with the media. And so I've noticed this while I was in the business world, and when I was able to take the company public, I felt the burning desire to give back. And so I didn't exactly know how at first, but it wasn't too long before I met a man by the name of Tom Peterson, who is he is the president of both Virtue Media, the pro-life apostolate, and Catholics Come Home, which is a Catholic evangelization nonprofit. And so I clicked with Tom immediately, and I said, I want to support this. And so he had been doing both of them, but we really launched Catholics Come Home in around 2008. And what they do is they try and use high quality TV commercials and internet ads, video to invite fallen away Catholics to come back to the church. So they're not trying to get Protestants to come back to the church. They're trying to get Catholics to come back to the church. And so we've been doing that, and Tom runs that on a day-to-day basis for the last 15 years or so. And we've had really a lot of success. We have been able to get a lot of the dioceses to pay to run a video or TV ad campaign in their diocese. And we measure the mass attendance before and after, and then 6 months later also to make sure that the people who come back to the church remain. And the results were pretty astounding. We see a 10 to 15% increase in mass attendance, and wow, more people come back to the church than even go to the website. People just say, "Hey, that's me." And they're kind of convicted. They're kind of convicted by the ads. And so that's what led me down this path.
The ads are phenomenal. I mean, they're Hollywood media quality, the ads that you guys have put out. I've seen them on Fox News. I think I've even seen them. I've seen them, yeah, and major outlets. So kudos to you guys. You guys are doing a bang-up job. The book is called The Logic That God Exists. The Logic That God Exists. You can pick up the book from Sophia Institute Press. Sophia Institute Press. I'm assuming probably from talking to you and your background, Robert, I can see that you're going to use a lot of logic, reason, science to argue that God exists. So let me ask you, how the laws of nature prove God's existence?
Right. The universe operates by rules. And so the question is, how did they get there? The laws of nature, how the whole cosmos works. And it's interesting to think that the water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit and freezes at 32. The acceleration of gravity is 10 meters per second per second. Everyone knows that the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. These are constants throughout the universe. So if there was a big bang with just randomness, and you wouldn't expect there to be any laws or rules at all. But if so, you'd expect them to be different in different places. But it's not. It's the same. It's universally the same. So this is strong evidence of a creator. This is a talking point which has gotten lost in the media and in the conversations that we have. It's they use science against the idea that there's a God rather than for there's an idea that there's a God.
Robert, what I hear you saying is that there's no conflict between science and religion, because I think as Catholics, we believe that all truth comes from God, whether it's scientific truth or religious truth. It comes from the same source, God. And isn't it a fact that it was the Catholic Church that gave us the discipline of science back in the early Middle Ages?
Yes, for sure. I mean, and that's one thing we point out with Catholics Come Home commercials, is that the Catholic Church developed the scientific method, and they developed the college system. And all of these things stem back to basically Catholics and Catholic priests back in those days. So there's no conflict between belief and science. As a matter of fact, science shows us that there has to be a God, because science will tell you that there's no way to make something from nothing. So that's impossible. So how did it happen? It that means there had to be someone created. And it's just very simple logic. And it's, you know, I call it the math of God. And then you get to look at even our own, our human DNA. And nowadays, everyone's very familiar with code, computer code.
Yeah.
You know, we all carry a cell phone, an iPhone in our pocket, and it's a marvelous invention, but it's completely done by programmers. Thousands and thousands of programmers are used in all the gadgets we use in our everyday life. And so, but none of these are as complex as our own bodies. So, and we even call DNA, we call it our genetic code. It's a code. Okay, who wrote the code? There has to be, if there's a program, there has to be a programmer. And I say right there, that's game over. There has to be a God. It's as simple as that.
So what you're saying is that it's basically, it's in our DNA, isn't it? Our DNA points to a creator. That's what I hear you saying.
It points to a creator. That's why I say not only might there be a God, there has to be a God.
Makes sense to me. I'm talking to an author of a great book, Robert Russell. The book is called The Logic That God Exists. You can pick up a copy of this book, Sophia Institute Press. And I'll tell you why this book is important, because this is one of the biggest objections, that mental roadblocks that young people have, especially when they go to our Marxist colleges. They just pepper them with all these pseudo-sophisticated atheist objections. And a lot of our Catholic kids, they come out as unconverted pagans by the time they come out of 4 years of college. This is a book that every mom and dad, every college kid should read this book, The Logic That God Exists. You can pick it up at SophiaInstitutePress.com. I'm talking to the author here, Robert Trussell. I got some more questions for Robert on the next segment. Robert, I'm going to ask you, and just kind of think about this during the break. The three barriers against belief, I'm going to ask you, what are they? And then I would like you to respond, how do we overcome them? So we're going to look at that in the next segment. What are the three barriers against belief in God, and how do we overcome them? Talking here with the author of a book, The Logic That God Exists, Robert Trussell. We'll be right back. Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The book, The Logic That God Exists, you can pick it up from Sophia Institute Press. The author, Robert Trussell. This is the book that every college kid needs. Mom and dad need this book so you can know how to answer your children in high school, in college, university. This is a book, again, that shows you that science and the Catholic faith are not incompatible. In fact, they're in complete harmony. So, Robert, my question to you is, can you tell us the three barriers against belief in God, and how do we overcome them personally and help other people overcome them?
Yeah, the three, I believe there's three main reasons why people doubt the existence of God. Number one, I think by far, perhaps, is The Problem of Pain, which is a great book by C.S. Lewis, by the way. And the people don't see how a loving God can allow so much pain and suffering. And that is a good question, and it's a hard one to answer. But the way I look at it is, would you endure 10 seconds of pain for 100 years of happiness? Or yes. Would you endure
yes.
10 years of pain for 100,000 years of bliss? You know, and the answer is, yeah, you would. And so the reason people don't believe in God often is because they can't get over this hump, and they're looking at it the wrong way. They're looking at it in the context of this world is all there is, which is the way an atheist looks at it. If you look at it through the eyes of a believer, this is just a temporary stop, and it's not our real home, and we're going to be together for eternity. And so if we go through some bad times, and we all go through bad times, some probably worse than others, but in the end, It's nothing. And St. Paul said, you know, at the end, it was all worth it. And Jesus said, you will not look back. And so that, it to me, is a great way to for people to understand it, that A, they're not alone. B, it's relatively short. And C, Jesus suffered also. He is in solidarity with us. And so that's the number one thing. Number two is hiddenness. You know, we can't see him. And sometimes the silence is deafening. Also we get busy and out of sight and out of mind. But the hiddenness, people will ask, well, you know, why doesn't God just come down here and show himself if there's a God? Why doesn't he just show us a big image of him in the sky at all times looking down? And the reason he really can't do that, and one of the chapters of the book is, what would you do if you were God? And if you were God, you would not want your creations, your children, you wouldn't want to force them. You would want them to love you freely. And so your kids, if you were in your, literally in their face all the time, they wouldn't have that chance. They'd be puppets. And God, in order to for us to freely love him, knows that. And so he has to be hidden for that reason. But on the other hand, he did show himself. He came down here. He lived with us. He in the form of, you know, Jesus Christ. He did thousands of godlike things. He walked on water. He controlled the forces of nature. He rose people from the dead. He healed the sick. He predicted his own death, and then he died. He predicted he would rise, and he did. All of these things, he did come down. So you can't say he didn't show himself. He did show himself. And so, you know, but we're always like, what have you done for us lately? And that's when I point to the miracles. Miracles that not only Jesus performed, but then he said to his disciples, you will do greater works than these. And they did. And this has happened down through the ages. The great stories of great Catholic saints and the unbelievable works that they have done throughout the ages and are doing now. The problem is it doesn't get any press. It doesn't get any, it should be on the cover of these Eucharistic miracles that happen, for instance. They should be on the cover of every magazine, but no one knows about them. Some Catholics don't know about them, but the Protestants, this is completely Greek. And it could help if you're a fallen away, you know, Protestant, if you're an atheist now or an agnostic, you should look to the Catholic Church for verification that there is a God, because it's all there.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, Robert. There's a video of Benny Hinn, who's one of the health and wealth gospel preachers on the TBN channel, where he was asked, and there was a crowd of about 15,000-20,000 people. He was asked in a Protestant audience, in which church do more miracles occur? Benny Hinn said in front of about 20,000 people, he said, more miracles occur in the Catholic Church than any other Christian church in the world. It was a mic drop moment. The entire Protestant audience went silent. They could not believe he said that. Then he went on to explain himself. Benny Hinn said, the reason there are more miracles in the Catholic Church than any other Christian church is because they have the Eucharist. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my gosh.
Benny Hinn, it says on YouTube.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got to write that one down.
Yeah, it goes to your point. The evidence of miracles, as Catholics, we have the miracles of the Holy Eucharist, which still continue today. And by the way, you know, people sometimes will say, well, you know what, I don't think the Novus Ordo Mass is effective, and you know, some people will poo-poo it. Well, I can just tell you that Eucharistic miracles continue in the Novus Ordo Mass post-1965 as well, which answers a question about its validity when some people try to question it. You also see all the explosion of Marian apparitions. I'm talking about the approved ones. We also see the explosion of the incorruptibles. There are hundreds of incorruptibles. I don't know any Muslim incorruptibles or any Jewish incorruptibles. There may be. I don't know about any. Or is there any Protestant incorruptibles?
No.
I mean, the Catholic Church is replete with miracles.
It's the home of miracles, and I allude to this in the book, the Logic That God Exists. There are no even claims of Muslim miracles. There's no claims and Protestant miracles. I mean, there are faith healings and there's things like that. But as far as the spectacular miracles that reside in the Catholic Church, it's pretty much just there. And the incorruptibles are there for all to see. If you ever go to Europe, they're in all the churches all over France and Italy. And it's an amazing thing. And then you mentioned the Marian apparitions, which to me is another way to believe in God, because if Mary, I mean, these apparitions are so well validated, and they're usually to little children with no guile. It's not somebody trying to sell you something, and it's happening all over the world.
Trying to sell you a used car.
Right. I mean, it's obviously real. And so that she points to her son, and that's another point I make as a proof of God. And I say in the book, if you somehow reject everything you and I have been talking about, Jesse, with the math of God and having disorder somehow come from or order somehow come from disorder and from our genetic code somehow coding itself. If you say, okay, I don't believe any of that, well, then there's another proof that doesn't include any of that, and that's the proof of Jesus Christ himself. Because Jesus Christ claimed to be God, came down here, did God-like things, and if he was God, then there is a God there. There's another proof right there. I mean, how much more do you need?
I love the way I've never heard it put that way. Jesus Christ came down and did God-like things. That's good. I like that. God-like things. Yeah.
He drove out
27 demons from 27 people, performed 36 documented miracles in the New Testament, including
I'm the storms.
Yeah.
I'm the storms. Come on.
Yeah. So hey, Robert, how can people pick up your book? I'll let you do the advertisement. How can people get your book?
The people can get the book at sophiainstitute.com right now. It comes out June 18th, and to place orders and to find out where it's going to be, it's brand new, and that's Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, institute.com.
The book is called The Logic That God Exists, The Logic That God Exists. Let me just ask you one last question. How do we overcome these barriers? Just, you got about a minute. How do we overcome these barriers to unbelief?
Yeah, that really dovetails with the third main reason people don't believe in God, which is that they just get too busy. Mm. They're caught up in their own lives. And we found this with Catholics come home when we asked them, why did you drift away? And they say, the main reason is I got busy. I got soccer practice on Sunday mornings, and then I kind of drifted away. And then when we say, why did you come back? Or why didn't you come back? And they said, because no one invited me. So they're looking, there's no good reason why they're gone, and they need an invitation. And the busyness in our daily lives, that is really the third reason that I ask people to come to grips with. And we all, probably not that many people listening to this broadcast perhaps, but they all know people who are this way, who people who are really, what they're afraid of is changing their lives. They don't want to change their lives. And so they say, I don't believe.
Good point. Yeah, people are oftentimes comfortable in their sin, that metanoia, that interior conversion, that renewal of the mind, that's an act of the will, and some people they're just not ready for yet. Well, Robert, thank you very much, my friend. Thanks for coming on. The book is called The Logic That God Exists, Sophia Institute Press. The Logic That God Exists. Pick up a copy today. The author is Robert Trussell. Thank you so much for coming on, my friend. Be well. God bless you. Keep the faith, and we'll keep promoting your book until it comes out.
All right. God bless you.
You got it, brother. You've been listening to The Terry and Jesse Show. That's a wrap. We're nearing the end of the show. Remember, as Catholics, this is our Esther moment. We were destined for such a time as this. We have to rise to the occasion. Do not be afraid. Trust in Jesus. We will follow Jesus no matter what. God bless you. Keep the faith.